So we're going to dive right into a topic that impacts so much of everything else in this series. It is a topic that I believe impacts marriage, it impacts dating, it impacts being single. It's a little bit of feedback on this mic. But it impacts so much stuff in our lives. And usually, I kind of warm up to this topic. Usually, I kind of start, I preach and teach on this topic maybe like midway through the series, if you've kind of been following this series for a few years now. But today, I just kind of felt like God was leading us to start with this topic, to go just all in and just to dive in. And so today we're gonna dive in and we're gonna talk about the topic of sex. And for some of us, this might be a little uncomfortable because you're not always accustomed to hearing the sex talk, if you will, in church. And you know, and maybe you didn't grow up in an environment where this topic was something that was discussed a whole lot. Maybe it was something avoided for whatever reason. But unfortunately, even in the church has been silent about it. But yet the Bible has so much to say about it. And so what I want to do today is I want to show us this beautiful picture of sexuality and what God says about it. So we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, starting at verse 15. And once again, if you have not already shared this on Facebook, shared our Facebook live stream, I want you to pull out your phone now and share it. Especially when I give you the title for today's sermon. I promise you it's going to be like, whoa. So Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Here's what it says. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Turn your ear to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. For the lips of the adulterous woman drip honey. Everybody say drip. Now, I ain't make this up. The Bible said that. Some of y'all are already uncomfortable. I can feel it. And her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. Drink water from your own cistern. Running water from your own well. Drink water from your own cistern and water, running water from your own well. And so already here in Proverbs chapter 5, as the Bible is talking about sexuality and marriage and that holy relationship, it's talking about how sex is being utilized in culture in that day and time, but also now how relevant it is to ours. And so Solomon, as he's writing these words in Proverbs chapter 5, says, avoid the adulterous woman. Avoid this path or avoid this trap that is set for you to engage in something that you have no business avoiding or no business engaging in. And then he says at the end of it, verse 15, drink water from your own cistern. In other words, don't go dibbling and dabbling in the things of culture and the things of this world. Like, don't go doing it that way. That doesn't work. But running water from your own well. So in the spirit of what we're hearing here in Proverbs chapter 5, when it says drink water from your own cistern, it's speaking of a thirst. It's speaking of a desire. So today I'm calling today's message, as we kick off this message series, Swipe Right, talking about sex. Are you guys ready for my title? Are y'all ready for the title? Some of you guys are going to be like, I'm leaving right now. I'm calling today's sermon Thirst Traps. Thirst Traps. And as I said in the first sermon, this will be a part of the series where sermon I would tell you like to turn to the person sitting next to you and say my title. I don't want to do that today. I don't want to put anybody in an uncomfortable position. So, but today I'm calling it Thirst Traps. And so we're going to get real today. Can we get real today? Man, y'all are not as good as a 9:30 service. 9:30 was like, yeah! But that's what we're talking about today, thirst traps. Now, if you're not familiar with the term thirst trap is a term and a phrase to describe something or someone that is presenting themselves in such of a way to attract sexual attention from someone else. And how this relates to our scripture and our message today is that the enemy oftentimes attacks this desire that we may have, this sexual desire that we may have, this thirst, if you will, as the Bible talks about. He attacks it by setting these traps for us that oftentimes we see people fall for, oftentimes that we may fall for, really, I believe, because we don't have a true understanding of what sex is all about. I believe that there, because of this, the enemy sets all these traps everywhere. So there's traps on social media, there's traps on our jobs, there's traps in our friends' circles, there's traps at the gymnasium, at the workout area, The straps in the grocery store. Like, everywhere you go, the enemy has set all these different types of trap. TV and social media and the internet. And there's just all these different types of traps. And because we're not always equipped when it comes to sexuality according to God's standard, not the culture standard, our lives suffer in ways that God never actually intended. And so I'm willing to believe that many of us in here today have not been exposed to the truth of sexuality God's way. Not first, at least. Maybe you got exposed to it later on. But I'm willing to believe that many of us probably didn't start off with God's word when it came to the topic of sex. Maybe you heard so many different things about this topic, that it's nasty and avoided, or maybe it was the opposite. You heard from people and culture and others to sleep with whoever you want and to do what you feel and to follow your feelings. By the way, that's not love. That's called lust. We don't follow our feelings. We follow our faith. Feelings are terrible masters. We don't follow them. I'm willing to believe that many of us in here didn't hear first about what God had to say about sex, that we heard it from culture, that we heard it from people, we heard it from others around us. Matter of fact, studies have shown that 80% of adolescents find out about sex, violence, and drugs by peers, television, and the internet, which means also that most are not finding out about sex from parents, educators, or most importantly, biblical teaching. 80% of adolescents, meaning anybody high school on under, 80% found out about this topic that we're exploring today. Not from God's word, not even from parents, but from Instagram, from TV, from social media, from peers, friends, not from the place where God wanted us to, but from all these other places. I can attest to this because, can we be real in this series? This ain't gonna work if y'all ain't gonna be real. Because y'all real tight right now. It's like, I did not think we were gonna do this today, Pastor. I just really wanna get out of here. This sermon is making me very uncomfortable. I've never looked so straight ahead a day in my life until today's sermon. Y'all can see some of y'all faces. Some of y'all like, looking straight into the camera, like, oh no, 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 no. But we're gonna be real about this, because I think that this is what the enemy uses to keep us in bondage. So when I say the stat about 80% of adolescents found out about this, not from the places that they should, but from other places, unfortunately, that I know that's true, because if we can be real, I'm gonna be real, because some of you guys are like really tight. Maybe this will kind of help you disarm some of the tightness that you're facing in here. I can attest to this because when I was between 8 and 10 years old, I was exposed to some things, not by my choice, but because I happened to be around some friends of mine who had older siblings that when we were hanging out, we were playing, and then we went to older siblings, you know, room, and we were playing up there, just hanging out, you know, just wanting to hang out with the older kids and stuff like that. And then they closed the door. And when they closed the door, they popped on a video. Now, this is a VHS. Some of you guys are like, what is a VHS? I don't even know what a VHS is. It's a tape. Just Google it. We didn't have YouTube back then. And it popped on this tape, and it was a tape where sexual activity was taking place. We would call that pornography. I was between the ages of 8 and 10. Matter of fact, I think I was about 8 years old when this happened. Why is this so profound? My oldest son is 6 years old, and I cannot even imagine him being exposed to something like this at that age. And so now this exposure to something that was not right according to God's standard, because I was exposed to this, and now a seed was planted then that I was fighting through middle school, high school, and the early years of college. Do not think for one second the enemy does not think that you are in a place where you can't be influenced. The enemy oftentimes starts by getting us, not when we're older, but when we're younger. Or this is something that happened all throughout Scripture, because all throughout the Bible, especially in the book of Exodus, the Bible talks about how Pharaoh had put out this decree to kill all of the babies. And then by the time you get to Jesus' time, Roman emperor as well put out this decree that newborn babies would also be killed. Those are all demonic attacks from the enemy to show us that the enemy desires to sift you as wheat, even at a young age. So, hey, if you're in high school in here, you're in middle school in here, I want you to understand something. The enemy is after you. And it doesn't mean that because you're 30 and 40 and 50, that enemy is not after you. No. His tricks just look different. Thirst traps. Somebody say thirst traps. Some of you guys are like, I never in a million years would have ever imagined I would come to church to say thirst traps in church. He lays these traps. He lays these traps. And as long as we continue to go down a path where we get our cues from culture, we will continue to fall into the traps of the enemy, the devil, Satan, swiping in the wrong directions, not swiping right according to what God says, but going in the opposite direction of what culture says. And I believe that if we're really going to operate at the level that God wants us to, especially when it comes to relationships and dating, we got to get this one right. Because this becomes foundational for everything else. When we talk about marriage, when we talk about dating, when we talk about being single or divorced or being widow, this is a major, major issue that oftentimes in the body of Christ we don't like to talk about, but the Bible has so much to talk about it. So much to say when it comes to the topic of sex. One, the Bible begins to speak to us first about the producer of sex, the originator of sex. I want us to understand something here today. And that is this: sex was not something that mankind thought of on his own. It was not our idea. It was not culture's idea. It was not your idea. It was not the person sitting next to you's idea. It was nobody's idea in and of themselves. It was actually God's idea. God produced this. God created this. How do I know this to be true? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Says this: so God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God, the imago Dei, if you will. He created them male and female. Watch verse 28. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Key words: be fruitful and multiply. Now, I'm not a smart mind, Gen A, as Forrest Gump would say. But there's only one way you can be fruitful and multiply. Some of y'all are like, don't say it. Please, Pastor, I'm uncomfortable. The only way this happens is through sex. It wasn't like God was saying, hey, be fruitful and multiply. If you think of kids, you'll have kids. No. He said, be fruitful, multiply. In other words, it was God's idea. God was the one who said, Adam and Eve, y'all married, y'all gone now. Go be fruitful. Man, y'all are so much tighter than the first service. Oh my gosh. It's uncomfortable up in here right now. He said, go on now. Y'all good. Like it's okay. He produced it. It was his idea. He gave it to humanity as a gift from the beginning. In other words, God told Adam and Eve, y'all gone, go do it. Go do it. Go home. It's cool. It's okay. Remember what the word says here. It says, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Blessing means it's good. In other words, sex ain't nasty. Sex isn't bad. Sex is actually good because it's a gift from God. Now, the reason why some of us have an issue with hearing that and maybe even kind of fight back against that is because what you've seen about sex has been perverted. That's my second point, but I'm not going to go there right now. God is the originator of it. He created it. It was his idea. It wasn't like when Adam and Eve were having sex and being fruitful and multiplying, he was like, oh my gosh, oh, what are you doing, Adam? No, he didn't say, oh my God. Oh, I God. No, he didn't say that. I'm trying to help y'all laugh because y'all are real tired right now. He wasn't, you're so dirty. I'm ashamed of you, Adam. No. Y'all got it. Yup. It's my boy. I bless you guys. I brought y'all together. Enjoy it. It's good. It's a gift. It's a gift. Matter of fact, I sent this to our production team because I wanted to put this on the screen, and I hope they have it because I need you to get this in your spirit, right? Can you guys pull up this? Can y'all pull up the words "sex is good"? I want y'all to see that right there. Some of y'all feel dirty looking at that right now. Sex is good. It's a good thing. The Bible says this in James chapter 1, that every good and perfect gift comes from God, the Father above. And the reason why we kind of cringe at that right there is because what we've seen done with this gift has not been good. And so that right there is like, oh, no, I don't know. I don't know, Pastor, if I would call it good. It's nice. I love this today. Oh, I love it. I don't know, Pastor, if I would say this is pleasant. I don't know if I would go that far. I don't know if I would say that. But God says, no. It's a gift from me. It's my gift to you. It's a blessing. Sex wasn't our idea. It was God's idea. And God created sex actually for something more than just for it to be pleasure, but it was actually also meant to be something of a picture of intimacy. Into me, you see, that there would be a oneness. That's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, that when God joined them together, they became one flesh. How you think you become one flesh? Oh man, y'all are really struggling today. It is through the sexual union. It cements what God has ordained. Which is why later on in scripture, Paul says, don't you know that when you have sex outside of God's ways and God's word, and you begin to have all these multiple partners, you are joining yourself with somebody that God never intended? But it's a gift. It's good. But oftentimes what we've been taught about sex is that it's bad, and it's oftentimes come from culture and come from people. I don't know what kind of household you grew up in. Maybe you grew up in a house where, like, we don't have that conversation at all. Not one bit. Me and Ariel, we were talking about this the other day, and we were like, man, listen, like, if we don't talk about this to our oldest, even at this age, you know who is? The devil. He flashing that at them. Disney Channel. Innuendos. He planting all these seeds. So if we don't come in and lay a foundation of what it is, then what's going to happen is the first time he hears it, he's going to think that this is the way. But we got to lay a foundation. That this is not something that originated with culture or that this was man's idea. But no. Now God is the... He is the originator of this. He created this. It is a gift from God, and it is pleasurable, and it is purposeful, and it's okay to have sexual desires the way that God intended. But God gives parameters for that, which is like my third point, but we'll get to that in a moment as well. But I want you to understand, sex is not a bad thing. Here's how I know this to be true. There is a whole book called the Song of Songs in the Bible that pretty much just talks about the sexual union between a man, a husband, more specifically, and his wife. We did a series a few years ago. It's on our app. It's online. You may need to go listen to it. It's called The Real. And it was a whole series where I preached and taught on the Song of Songs. Some of y'all need to go read that book, for those of us who are especially married. Don't miss your blessing. There is a blessing with your name on it. And it stems out of the Song of Songs. But that's not the only book that talks about it. The book of Proverbs, what we read earlier, also talks about it. In the same passage of scripture that we read later on in verse 18 and 19 of Proverbs chapter 5, watch what it says. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Here's where it gets really real. Some of you, I don't even know if you're ready for this. You'll probably be like, I can't believe this is in the Bible. It says, a loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you be intoxicated with her love. Some of y'all are like, that's in the Bible? The Bible went dark. This is the Bible after dark. This is Midnight Love Bible. That's the scripture. But we're missing out on so much of the beauty of this gift because we don't know what God says about it. And God never cursed this thing. He said it's a blessing, and it can be enjoyed, and it's meant to be enjoyed, but it's meant to be enjoyed in a certain way. But when it's not enjoyed in a certain way, it leads to disaster, which leads to the second thing that I want to talk about today, which is now the perversion of sex. And this is what we see happen in culture. And so because the enemy knows that he can't create anything, his main goal is to pervert everything. To pervert means to use something other than for the purposes in which it was created. Let me give you an example. I see a microwave. Man, this microwave will make a great bicycle. I'm going to try to ride this microwave as if it's a bicycle. What is wrong with you? You have now perverted it. That is the same thing now when it comes to sexuality. Because the enemy knows he can't create anything. Now he makes it a goal of his to pervert it. To change it and to use it for the wrong reason and for the wrong purpose. And what the enemy thrives on is taking something that is good that God has given and flipping it upside down. Using it for something that's not like the purposes of God. So what happens now is the enemy, now he brings in all these temptations. He brings in these traps, if you will, to cause you to misuse this gift. So he preys on a legitimate desire that you have to get you to fulfill it in an illegitimate way. That's all sin is when we have a legitimate desire, but we go about fulfilling it in an illegitimate way. So he will prey on this desire that you may have, but get you to satisfy it in a wrong way or an unbiblical way. And so here's what culture says, and here's how the temptations come in. Just have sex with whoever you want. Just do whatever you want. Look at all the pornography that you want. Have as many one-night stands as you want. Can we be real today? Like just do whatever you want. It's cool. Do whatever you feel. We are a feelings-based culture, so if you feel it, man, go for it. No. That's not God's desire, but that's what the enemy comes in. And so he comes in, he sets all these different traps on TV. So there'll be certain TV shows that will have activity that is outside of the will of God. Power.
No amens today. Oh, gosh. I know Ghost just got killed, and I know we found out who killed him.
Pastor, I fast forward through all that part. No. Between you and the Lord. We expose ourselves to things that are not of God. We expose ourselves even to music that does not perpetuate the kingdom principles of God, but it perpetuates the kingdom of darkness. Pornography is one of the leading industries in the world. It is a $1 billion industry. But Pastor, it only impacts me. No. Actually, it doesn't. Did you know that pornography is actually one of the main funnels in resourcing sex trafficking? In other words, every single time you click on that website and you look at something and you look at that, it is keeping somebody else in bondage. So you and I, when we engage in that, and when people engage in that, you are fulfilling a lustful desire at the expense of someone else's freedom. That's not God. And the reason why oftentimes we stay in bondage is because we don't ever like to talk about it. Just kind of like, I'm gonna just do my thing. I'm not gonna tell nobody about it. And it doesn't help that the body of Christ is oftentimes silent about it. It doesn't help that the churches are silent about it. This is something that impacts everybody. Some of us are right now, like, your marriages are falling apart because of pornography. Oh, let me say it like this. We're going to talk about this in a few weeks when we talk about marriage. Some of us can't even engage in sexual activity because you got so many images of pornographic images in your mind that when you are engaging in this activity, you are comparing them to your spouse. And so now something that God had gave that was good, the enemy has set all these traps for perversion. Now it leads to this stronghold. Culture tells us if you have sex, then you'll be whole. You'll be complete. You're not a man until you do this. You're not a woman until you do this. But I want you to understand something. Sex does not complete you, only Jesus does. Not one bit. Sex doesn't solve your problems. If you're not careful, sex will create more problems. The perversion of sex can lead to so much. Here's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 through 14. You say, I am allowed to do anything. That's what culture says. I can do whatever I want. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. Pastor, don't tell me what to do. It's my body. You're not going to tell me what to do with my body. I can choose whatever I want to do with my body. Here's what Paul says. But not everything is good for you. He says, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, quote unquote, yeah, sure you can. Doesn't mean you should. He said, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you can't say our bodies were made for sexual immorality. Watch what he says next. They were made for the Lord, and the Lord cares about our bodies. So the body that you and I oftentimes claim as ours is really not ours, it's God's. That's why the Bible says your body is the temple of the Lord. Be very careful when you say things, it's my body, I could do it. No. When you start saying things like that, you're going down the wrong path. It is not your body. It's the Lord's temple. And I want to use it in a way that honors God. But if I take the bait of Satan, now what happens is I fall into these traps and I engage in what Paul says here, sexual immorality. And that word, sexual immorality, is the Greek word porneia. It is where we get our English word pornography. It is any type of sexual activity that is contrary to the will and to the word of God, which shows us, yes, sex is good, and it is a gift to be enjoyed, but it is not a, it is a gift to be enjoyed, but not exploited. And what our culture does is exploit this gift, sells this gift, props up this gift. Can we be real today? Y'all, how y'all doing? Y'all good? That's what culture does. This is perversion. And unfortunately, like maybe because of what you were exposed to first about this gift, you learned the wrong way to handle it. And because of that, it's led to disastrous effects. Because whenever perversion takes place, pain always follows. So because this gift has been perverted so many ways, it has led to so much pain. Some of you all in here are victims of sexual abuse. That was a gift that was misused. Some of us are still trying to recover from trauma that happened as a teenager, and you are 50. Because it was a gift that was perverted, that somebody took something that was pure and perverted it and used it to satisfy themselves at your expense. That was not God's will. Not one bit. And I want you to know that if that is your story, God is able to heal that wound too. That it doesn't matter what has happened to you. God can refresh it, and he can renew. But this gift of sex, this ain't nothing to be played with. It is not something that we just play around with and we just treat casually. The perversion of sex has been the very thing that has ruined families. Led to STDs, right? This is why, like, you probably know people like this and you know people's stories like this. You have a conversation with somebody and they have multiple kids or whatever the case may be, but all the kids have different parents. There's a perversion of sex. There was a gift that God had given, but it was used improperly. It was never God's intent. Everybody got different last names. Wait a minute. Y'all got the same mama, but different daddies. It's a perversion of the gift. That was never God's intent. But culture says this is normal. No, it's not. That was never what God wanted. God gave this gift as something to be beautiful, as we read earlier, to be fruitful and multiply, to subdue the earth and to give him glory and to be used for our good. It is meant to be used properly, But when it's not, it causes trauma, and it causes identity issues, and it causes pain. And when it's not used properly, it just leads to so much dysfunction, so much trouble. And I believe that you all are here today, myself included, we are all here today watching online, and we've had encounters with the perversion of this great gift called sex. Maybe you're here and, like, you've had sex with multiple people and you're not married. Maybe you've done some things. It's like, man, I've said some things, I've done some things, I've looked at some things that are not pure in God's sight. And I fell into the trap. These thirst traps. The trap that the enemy set. I took the bait. I fell into it. Like, I didn't know any better. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. But I'm so grateful that what the world says is the standard, and though it's not working, God always gives us the truth that does work. Which leads me to now the parameters of sex. Because when God gave this gift, he gave this gift with guidelines. That yes, sex is pleasurable, it's powerful, and God, the one who created this gift, gave parameters for it. In other words, he tells us how to use it. He tells us how to operate in it. I don't know if you've ever been to like a store and you've like seen chainsaws. They're a very powerful tool. But one of the things that you will always find in every box of a chainsaw that has a chainsaw is an instruction manual. And the instruction manual is not there to restrict you, but to protect you. That's why when you get it, like there's all these warning labels on it. You know, do not operate in the dark when there's no light. You know what I mean? Like all this type of stuff. Because the producer or the manufacturer of that product recognizes the power of this, and that if we don't tell you how to operate it properly, you could end up injuring yourself. So when God created this beautiful gift called sexuality, called sex, he says, I'm going to give you an instruction manual called my scripture to show you how to operate in it so that you don't injure yourself. So that you don't injure other people. But for some reason, culture has us convinced, we can do whatever we want. We don't need no rules. Well, look at what that's led to. God says, no, I have so much more for you. And if you do it my way, I promise you, you'll experience more joy and you'll experience more peace and it'll be less stressful. And you will walk in and tap into the fullness of what I have for you. That's why this whole theme for this year for our church is called Greater. And I believe that part of us experiencing greater lives is by getting this under control and by us having an understanding of this. It's the gift of sex is very similar. I like to paint it to compare it to fire. Think of passion. You know, you love your wife, you love your husband. We just celebrated Valentine's Day, you know what I mean? And talking to your wife, come here, girl. Nothing wrong with that. Husbands, talk to your wives like that. Because if you don't stir the pot, you don't think the enemy won't come and begin to whisper in her ear through the voices of other men? Traps. So what God says here is, this passion, it's good, it's cool, it's all right. But passions need parameters. And it's very similar to a fire. That a fire is good when it's contained, right? Like you can warm stuff up, you can make some s'mores. S'mores, how many of you guys like s'mores? Like you love s'mores. Like that thing is good. That fire is good when it's used properly. But if I were to light a match and drop it on this carpet, all of us in here would be running out those back doors right now. Because something that was good is now out of control. Because it is not within the parameters in which it was supposed to be in. Such is the same with sex. Which is why God says, I'm going to give you guidelines for it. I'm going to give you a parameter for it. I'm going to give you an instruction manual for it. Culture doesn't set the parameters for sex. God has already set them. Culture cannot dictate what it did not originate. So because culture didn't create it, culture can't tell us how to use it. But because God created it, he can tell us how to use it. So here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2 says. But since sexual immorality is occurring, each man should have sexual relations with his own wife, and each woman with her own husband. So we're already beginning to see a picture for how sex is to be operated in. And then Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. We go all the way back to the beginning. Watch what it says. Now Adam has sexual relations with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. So in both scriptures, we see a common thread, that sexual activity was something that took place between husband and wife. And in theological terms, theologians have this terminology called the law of firsts, which means that anytime something was first mentioned in scripture that God gave as a command, that was the pattern in which he wanted it to follow. So the first time that we actually even see sex mentioned in scripture, it was between husband and wife. And this was a narrative that you've seen all throughout the course of scripture. And when it took place outside of marriage, disaster always followed. Because God's desire was that sexual intercourse and activity would happen not between two friends, friends with benefits. I'm gonna call y'all the tight service. Y'all real tight today. Not the person that you're dating. Oh, we just love each other. Okay, we'll put a ring on it. You want the benefits of commitment without committing. That's what culture says. You got commitment issues. But God says, no. Activity sexually was meant to be enjoyed between husband and wife, meaning male husband, female wife, husband and wife, not multiple partners. Not male and male, not female and female. The Bible talks about that too in Romans chapter 1, that how God allowed humanity to follow its own desires, and he allowed them to engage in sexual immorality where men traded natural desires that they had towards women to sleep with other men, and women traded natural desires to sleep with, to have a husband to now try to be with another woman. I want y'all to realize that all the stuff that we're seeing today, it ain't new. This stuff been popping off for a long time. It just looked different. God says, no. That's not my will. God gave sex as a gift to be stewarded, not a toy to be played with. It is a gift that we are to steward properly, so we honor God with this gift. And God says, hey, look, when you get married, husband and wife, y'all do whatever y'all want, how much y'all want, wherever y'all want, do whatever. But outside of that is danger. It's the danger zone. When you step outside of that, disaster always follows. And I think all of us in here who have experienced this and maybe who've kind of deviated from the path of God can attest, like, it led to a lot of bad stuff. I can testify. Like, done some things, went against God's will, and it didn't lead to anything good. But man, I'll tell you one thing. Doing it God's way has led to so much joy, so much peace, so much fulfillment. Or let me use the word that God uses to describe this. It's been a blessing. Because we're doing it God's way. So when the enemy comes knocking on the door with these thirst traps, with these temptations, what are you going to do? Just say no. I love that. Let me give us a picture of what we should do. Genesis chapter 39, verses 8 through 12. There's a guy by the name of Joseph. He was somebody who had a very, very, very influential role in Egypt in his day and time. The Bible says this. Now, Joseph was well built and handsome. In other words, Joseph looked good. Joseph was fine. He had that nice old Egyptian line. He had that good old fragrance popping off, you know, he was well built. In other words, Joseph was swole, and he looked good. And he was a man of God. Oh, girl, let me tell you about my man, Joseph. The Lord has called us to be together. Well built and handsome. Watch what it says next in verse 7. After some time, his master's wife looked longingly at Joseph and said, sleep with me. Verse 8, but he refused. Look, he said to his master's wife, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in his house, and he has put all that he owns under my authority. No one in this house is greater than I am. He has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. So how could I do this immense evil? What immense evil was he talking about? Sexual activity outside of marriage, and more specifically, being with another man's wife. He says, how could I do this immense evil? And how, watch this, could I sin against God? Because this was not God's desire. Watch what it says next in verse 10. Although she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her. Y'all, she is a thirst trap. Oh, you don't believe me? Like, in order for, like, women that were married to people of high-ranking status in Egyptian time, they were some of the best, most attractive-looking women in all the land. So Potiphar's wife was very attractive. I can imagine Joseph probably having a conversation with some of the other guys who probably found out about this and were like, Joe, Potiphar's wife came to you, bro. You better than me. Y'all don't want to be real today. Y'all know this is exactly the type of conversations that happen. Bruh. Man. So I can't do that. That's sinful. It's not God's desire. Every day she kept coming to him. Joseph, I got something for you, Joe. Joey. I'm trying to make this really light for us today, man. Y'all making it really hard. Joe, you look so good. Let me paint this in 2020 terminology. Joe, you look so good. Hey, you fine. I like the way you smell. I like the way you do work. I like the way you be counting everything, Joe. Here come the spiritual. You so anointed. Can you pray for me? Can we have Bible study together? Can we have intercessory prayer one-on-one, Joe? Yo, I'm telling you, she came to him day after day, every day. This mic is on my nerves. Every day, she was coming to Joseph, every day. And the Bible doesn't tell us how long this was. This could have went on for like a month. It could have went on for months. Like, she was thirsty for Joseph. And the Bible says, although she spoke to him day after day, he refused to go to bed with her. But then it gets crazier. Now, one day, he went into the house to do his work, and none of the household servants were there. Imagine the scene. Joseph clocking at his job. Hey, where Billy at? Where, I don't see Bruce nowhere around here. Man, where in the world? Where is Joshua? I don't even see him here. Where everybody at? Everybody just took off today? And then, all of a sudden, hey, Joe. You like them candles I got over there? Don't nobody gotta know. It's between me and you. Joseph, I've been waiting for this moment for months. You don't even know the sacrifices I had to make to get everybody off their job today. I had to pay people off. This girl is thirsty, and she is jumping through all the hoops known to man to set this thing up. She has put in work for this sinful activity. And then she grabs Joseph. I ain't gonna let you get away this time, Joe. You ran away last time. I ain't gonna let you run away this time. You mine. And the Bible says she grabbed him by his garment, by his shirt. Said, come here, Joe. And said, watch this, sleep with me, have sex with me. What does Joseph do? Leaving his garment in her hand. That brother ran out the door. Out. Usain Bolt on him. Gone. I'm out of here. Can we be real? Because girl, you look too good for me to stay. I am out. I am not having no more conversation. Notice that he did not have a conversation in this moment. He just got out of here. And oftentimes where the enemy traps us is because we try to negotiate our way out of sin. Oh, yeah, I can just look a little bit. A look turns into another look, and another look, and another look, and next thing you know, you done fell. Joseph says, I'm not playing no games. She looked too good, she smelled too good, and she is coming after me. She wants me too bad, I am out of here. This is not God's will. This is not the parameters that God has set up. And if I stay long, I'm gonna fall. That is how you handle these thirst traps that are out here today. I'm trying to help us today. Some of y'all had no idea we was going to talk about these thirst traps today. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. People sliding in your DMs. I don't want to be real at all today. People shooting you that text message at midnight. Talking about work. That flirtatious talk that happens on your job. When they just brush up against you. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That happened, huh? Yep. No. Don't negotiate with it. Get out of there. I don't care. Some of us, what you need to do tomorrow is you need to ask your boss to put you on another shift. Because you got some people around you that are trying to get you to fall. And God is saying to you today, I have so much more in store for you, but I need you to avoid the traps that the enemy has set for you. And the reason why this message is so important to start off with is because if we don't have an understanding of what sexuality is all about and the gift of it, the gift that God has given with, and how it's a gift and how God wants us to use it, then we will fall into all these different traps. And I want you to realize that the enemy wants to sift you as wheat, as Jesus told Peter. And he wants to set up all these traps. Some of you guys are going to leave out of here. Some of y'all got a text message since you've been in here today. You got. I saw some of y'all look down. Some of y'all. Some of y'all try to play it off real safe. Oh, no, she can't call me right now. The enemy, he is relentless and he does not stop. He is always sending the traps. The Bible, you know what the Bible calls it? And I got to be done because I'm over time, way over time right now. The Bible calls it snares. Do you know what a snare is? It is not just some regular old bear trap that you could see wide open and wide all in the open. A snare is a trap that is in a place that you would not expect. And what the enemy does is he sets traps in these places that you would not even expect. And if you are not led by the Spirit of God, and if you're not tapped into the Word of God, then the trap will trap you. But I believe that God has more in store for you. And I believe some of us are here today and you've fallen into those traps and you're saying, Pastor, when I hear everything that you're saying, but man, I messed up. I've had sex with so many people. I can't even remember who they are now. I've done so many things. I've looked at pornography so many times, man. Like I feel so ashamed of it. And I feel so dirty on the inside because of that. And I've said some things and I've flirted with people who are not my spouse. And I've just done some, I've led people on and I've just really fallen into this trap of the enemy. And I've done some things that I just think that I can't recover from. And I've messed up and I've lied and I've deceived and I've cheated. And there's just no hope for me. But I want you to understand here today that no matter what you have done and no matter how dark your sin is, no matter how deep you've gone into a sexual stronghold, Jesus is strong enough to set you free from whatever it is that you have experienced in your life. That it does not matter what you have faced, that Jesus is strong enough, Jesus is good enough, Jesus is great enough to set you free, to give you a new future, to give you a new plan, to give you a new destiny. It is not over for you. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Why do I read that scripture? Because that was the very scripture that set me free from sexual strongholds that I was experiencing from the time that a seed was planted in me as a young person all throughout the early part of college. It was reading this scripture that helped me to see that I am not the mistakes that I've made. That in Christ Jesus, I am a new creature. And that in Christ Jesus, I have been made righteous, not by what I do, but by what Jesus has done for me. And the more I meditated on that, and the more I preached it to myself, the strongholds of sexuality and the perversion of it begin to fall one by one by one by one. Because any person in Christ is a new creature. And the same can be said of you today. So yeah, you may have misused the gift. Yeah, you've used it improperly. Yeah, you have done things. You've taken it out of context, and you've followed the ways of culture, and you're experiencing the consequences of it. But I want you to understand something here today, that Jesus is able to make all things new. That he can set you free from a young person in here. You've had sex with people and you have not even told your parents yet, and you're ashamed of it, and you feel as if you won't be loved anymore and you won't be forgiven. I'm here to tell you that Jesus forgives you of all of your sins, past, present, and future. And that in him you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter the stronghold. You can be free of it. And some of us today, this is the word that God wants you to receive, freedom. Freedom. Because you've bought into this lie of culture. You've followed the ways of this world. And it has led to stronghold and pain. But Jesus says, I want you to be free. For some of us in here, I hear God saying, today is going to be the last day. Yesterday was the last day that you will ever go to that pornographic website. It is time for you to come out of that. That no longer will you flirt with somebody who is not your spouse. If you're single, don't flirt with nobody, because that will stir up something that you have no business engaging in right now. God says, I have so much more for you. Come out of that. Come out of the lies of culture that says just follow your feelings and follow your emotions and follow your heart. No. Follow your faith. Follow Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Today, I believe God wants to free us by giving us the truth about his great gift called sex. And it's not going to be the only time we talk about it in this series. We're going to revisit it all throughout to show how it looks, how God wants us to operate in purity in the different seasons of our life. Because this isn't just a single thing. This isn't a married thing. This is an every person thing. No matter your age, no matter your ethnicity, no matter your color, your culture, it doesn't matter. God wants you to experience freedom. And for some of us today, God is calling you to confess it. I believe that God wants to set us free. Some of you are operating in generational cycles of sexual perversion. That the reason why they molested you is because they themselves were molested. And Jesus says, today, I want to stop it. I want to set you free of it. I want to bring you into greener pastures. I want you to walk in freedom. I want you to walk in the fullness that I have. That the reason why some of us are in that sexual stronghold was because of something you were exposed to at a young age. You saw a magazine that had nude images in it. You saw a video. It wasn't even your fault you were exposed to it. God says, today I'm going to choke out that seed by the blood of my son, Jesus Christ. I want you to come out of that. There's so much more that God has for you. And I believe that we will be a people of greater this year. I believe that we will be young people, middle school and high school students, college students, young adults, retired, married couples, whoever you are, no matter your age, no matter your generation, that we will be a people who wave the banner of what purity looks like in today's culture, and that we will say God's way is the best way. It may not be the popular way. It may not be what everybody else is doing, but it is the best way. And we may have to wait a season, but God always blesses us in our waiting, and he always does exceedingly abundantly above more than we could ever ask or imagine. This is the day that we experience freedom. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for this word that you have spoken. I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we would be a people who have a true understanding of this great gift of sexuality. And though this may have been uncomfortable for some of us to hear, I believe that you're going to begin to transform that. That we will no longer be deceived by the lies of culture, which comes from the enemy. But rather, we would be a people married to your truth, walking in the fullness of your blessing, because we are honoring you with the gift and the way that you wanted it to be. And I pray right now for any person in here under the sound of my voice, watching online, here in this place, who came in here in a sexual stronghold, that you would set them free today. That they would no longer be mastered by those things. That they would no longer do things that are inappropriate. That they would no longer touch themselves in inappropriate ways. But rather today, God, that they would be set free of that. And that they would walk in the fullness that you have for them. I declare and believe, Lord, that today is the beginning of a fresh start for them. So I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would begin to open up doors. That you would begin to transform. That you would begin to break generational bondage and curses that have been over their house and over their family and over their lives for so many years. I believe in faith that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that when we know the truth will set us free. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done for us on the cross. Thank you for this awesome truth. In Jesus' name, my head's bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, maybe you come here today and you have a very painful experience when it comes to this area of sexuality, because of things maybe that you've done, because of things maybe that others have done to you, unfortunately, and all the pain and the trauma that is caused, and you've been just, you want to be free of that, and things that you've done that you're not proud of, that you know are sinful, that go against the will of God, but today you want to be forgiven of those things, and today you want a fresh start with God. I want you to know that Jesus wants to give you a fresh start, that Jesus wants to make things new in your life, that it may not change everything that's happened in your life, but from this day forward, you are now a new creature, if that is you, and that's your desire, and you're saying, Jesus, I want him today. I want his salvation. I want his forgiveness. I want his freedom. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose back to life to give me life and to give it to me more abundantly. I confess with my mouth. I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for making me new. In your name I pray. And everyone said amen. Come on, church, let's put our hands together for those who have said yes to Jesus today. Come on, I need y'all to do better than that. The Bible says all of heaven is rejoicing for new destinies. Come on, for new life. The old has passed, the new has come. It doesn't matter what you came in here with today, but you leave out of here a new person. You leave out of here redeemed. You leave out of here the righteousness of God. Come on, y'all make some noise if you believe it today.